Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and we're reading verses 1 to 13. So that's Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. I believe it's up on the screen. It's entitled, Jesus' Teaching on Prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he's finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, we're now praise of thanksgiving, our prayer now, that you would help us to pray for ourselves, help us to pray for our friends and neighbours and family, for our town, for our country, even for our world. Lord, thank you for saving me. Teach us now to pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please be seated. I want to put on record, by way of a commendation to you all, my personal thanks to Jeremy King, Felicity Layton, and James Brown, all of whom have stood in this place over these last few weeks. Part of my day job is to run the church, clearly, and part of that job is to allocate who preaches. And it just struck me as I was sitting listening to these very good sermons, what a privilege it is to have such gifted people. So I commend their sermons to you. As you know, sermons are up on our website. If you miss them, they're a great blessing. So thank you to Felicity, to Jeremy, and to James. This morning's sermon is not about teach me to preach. It's not a bad question. If you are sensing a burden, happy to have a conversation. It's to teach me to pray. Sometimes if you're sitting there listening to a sermon, you're not actually asking any questions. You want the whole ordeal to end quite quickly. Sometimes even if you're preaching, that can be the case. But it's very interesting in Luke chapter 11 that Jesus isn't telling people what they don't want to do or know. This is from an enthusiastic classroom of children and students who want their teacher to teach them. How amazing is that? It's completely topsy-turvy. And so the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us to pray. And so what the teacher, Jesus, says then, as it were, is going to slip into open mouths and open minds and hearts. They're ready because they're actually asking the question. To take a step back, if I may, as you know, we're looking in Luke's gospel and part tangentially, if I may, to think about how God's word comes through Luke, reflect for a moment on the other gospels and how different they are because of their authors. John, the otherworldly mystic, the word became flesh, and you have the profundity of John chapter 1. Mark, with its racy style, you read some biography of Mark that he's running, and it's a short gospel, racy in style. Matthew, the Jewish tax collector, there's a lot about the Jewish religion there. Luke, here's his gospel. All of John, Mark, and Matthew and Luke are about Jesus, but as these men, under the inspiration of the Spirit, write these timeless truths for our benefit and learning, something of their character is inevitably going to come through. It's not like the Muslim philosophy of how the Quran came. Somehow Muhammad was transfixed and it kind of just got downloaded through him onto tablets. The human personality is involved under the inspiration of the Spirit. It's a long way of saying that Luke, professionally, in his personality, was a doctor, a physician. And whilst the Lord's Prayer is recorded in another gospel, I wonder too if Luke is saying, let's go to his dispensary, go to his pharmacy, go to his hospital, go to his surgery. I wonder how much he's going to be saying, I really got to tell you for your own blessing and benefit about prayer. And of course, the disciples saw this remarkable man, Jesus, and rather than him having to give them a good going over on Sunday, repent, you miserable people, the kingdom of God is at hand. And not surprisingly, the churches are going to empty because that sort of thing doesn't go down too well. And actually, some people did leave Jesus and walk the other way. Most people wanted to hear what he got to say. 5,000 people at one time, but actually there was an intimate moment and they could just sense that he got something they hadn't got. This was Jesus, the Son of God. And eventually they put their hand up, not to be too scared because everyone in the class shouldn't be too keen. You don't want to be the teacher's pet. Can you teach me how to pray? I really want to know that. And Luke, the doctor, is saying, do you know what? That's really good for you. It's good medicine. I will get on to looking at Luke chapter 11, but by way of physicians and pharmacy, I was heartened to find out that this newly produced book, The Poetry Pharmacy, is becoming a bestseller. It's not a Christian book. Some of its themes are, dare I say it, quite adult and edgy. I've not read all of them. There, that will probably entice you now. This one is safe. But actually the logic of this poetry pharmacy is that when things are not well within us, and there are a fascinating set of subjects addressed in these poems, that we should stop and pause and reflect and perhaps read a poem. I realized as I was thinking about this, I probably could give a whole lecture course on poetry and prayer, but that's not the point today. Suffice to say, one poem from the pharmacy, and then we're going to go back to Luke, the physician, who's saying, I want to dispense to you today what's really good for you. And you know what? Some people down the years are actually asking for it. Teach us to pray. This poem is from New Every Morning by Susan Coleridge. Every day is a fresh beginning. Listen, my soul, to the glad refrain. And in spite of old sorrow and older sinning, and puzzles forecasted and possible pain, take heart with the day and begin again. My only criticism with this book is it has a whole side of comment about what to do with the poem. I think poems are just best left read and reflected on, and perhaps turned into a prayer. But whether it's a book, whether it's a poem, this is a person. And to Luke chapter 11, Lord, teach us to pray. And as a way of opening up these first few passages from Luke chapter 11, I want us to just intriguingly ask ourselves this question. What if someone came to us and asked us, teach me to pray? So the husband whose wife asked them, could you just, darling, could you teach me to pray? I can see you're really good at it. Or to the congregation, to the vicar, not an unreasonable question, could you teach me how to pray? Or to the congregation from the minister, could you teach me how to pray? The truth is, I've learnt more from watching Christians pray than I have from any other source. Or children to their parents, to neighbours and so on. What would you say if you were asked, so how could I learn to pray? Well, here's Jesus' answer, and it's contained in Luke chapter 11. First of all, they're all P's. First of all, there's a pattern that he suggests we should follow. He then gives us a parable, and he then gives a very, very important principle. The pattern is there in the Lord's Prayer itself. There is always an amusing incident when Christians gather together in a small circle, and someone says, and we'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer, and the words aren't in front of you. And sometimes a minister can set off, as it were, almost an autopilot and think, oh, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, oh, help, what comes next? I haven't got the words. And it's a little bit of a kind of train crash as you carry on. Is it the old version, our trespasses, or is it the new version, our sins? Fortunately, most adults who are church members can probably remember the Lord's Prayer. Few children can now. And many adults, probably who don't attend church, don't know this pattern of prayer. My personal style of praying, a little bit of disclosure now, is to actually sit in silence and be still. Life and pressures can be busy, and the discipline and the task is to slow everything down and be still. I actually find it quite hard to do nothing. This is an important discipline. But knowing that Jesus offers us a pattern, even suggests that complete stillness, it's not some sort of mindfulness or Buddhist mantra that you enter in on. There's a particular set of words that we're being asked to pray. I hope you've noticed on the diary sheet, there is a prayer for the week. They're prayers written and matured and savoured by the Church of England. They're well thought out prayers. Good pharmacy for the soul, helping you not just to be still, but to connect with God. The pattern of the Lord's Prayer has been many and variously interpreted, but perhaps just to mention one thing. There's something there about our relationship with God. There's something there about our relationship with those around us. You might well say, well, there's not a lot else that is missed out with that. And indeed, you'd probably be right. In the Ten Commandments, you've got five commandments all to do with how you get on with God. You've got five commandments all to do with how you get on with others around you. Even the great Beatitudes, it's there with how you get on with God, and it's there with how you get on with others around you. Not surprisingly, when you go to Luke the doctor and say, how can I be better? How can I be well? And you dare to say to Jesus, teach me to pray, he's bound to say something about our Father and all these prayers vertically. and all those things about the others around you with temptation and evil and distraction. One dear Christian leader, I better not tell you who, but sometimes I find in tense moments I can be encouraged to pray this prayer myself. It's easily remembered. Perhaps you might like to pray it silently, not to the person face to face. These are for particular medicines if you're finding someone or some situation difficult. Lord, remove this person vertically or move them horizontally, please. Take them out of my way. Could you just get them out? But actually, vertical with God, our Father in heaven, there is a pattern, something about our relationship with God, something about our relationship with others around. So there we are, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, you want to pray? There needs to be a pattern and a structure for how you pray. Why not use those words meditatively of the young people have led us? Why not take the diary sheet and use those prayers? If you're a smartphone addict or you're into your iPad, the Church of England produces an app called Daily Prayer. It's the click of a button, and there you've got wonderful liturgy written by the church to enable you to pray. Because I'm a dinosaur and my five children keep on reminding me of that, I always have an issue with the light screen and what it does to your thought processes. So I tend to avoid contact with electronic media. The printed page is neutral. Some people close your eyes, bow your heads, hands together, we're going to pray. But if you do need stimulus to pray, it's all there for us, even in the scriptures. The pattern of prayer, and then the parable of prayer, which is true to life. Jesus says, let me just tell you something about prayer. Suppose you've got a friend and you want him to help you, and he's fast asleep at night, and you're asking him for something that if he was awake, he would give you because he's your friend, but because he's asleep, the only way to get this thing from him is to persist. And he underlines the word boldness. Because of his boldness, the friend will get up and give you the bread. Jesus is underlining boldness. Why does he choose that particular feeling to instill in us that when we're praying? Because most of us just feel diffident. What prayer for me? God being interested in me? Jesus is actually saying, if you've that spark within you about wanting to learn how to pray, or you want to teach others to pray, you must be bold. You must take risks. It's true to life. If you've a friend, that friend is going to help you. If they're asleep and soundly asleep, wake them up. So tell other people you're teaching how to pray, true examples, real to life, as how God has answered your prayers. When I was 22 years old, just before embarking on the threshold of Church of England training for the ministry, I got ordained quite young, therefore, age 26, I felt led by God to join with a group of young people serving and ministering to a Muslim community of Turks in West Berlin. But in order to get enrolled, you had to have a certain amount of money. There was a week's teaching, and there was 3 weeks of hard, exciting work with Muslim people in West Berlin in Germany. They were the Turkish immigrant community there. The whole campaign, which saw about tens of thousands of people mobilized in God's work, was called Love Europe. Not a bad thing to be reminded of, it occurs to me. These were heady, high-octane days, and it wasn't for the faint-hearted. I only tell it to you now because I want it to be told to myself that it did me good and it taught me how to pray. In order to get in on this particular camp, and there were 3 very exciting weeks working with young people from all over the world, you had to raise a certain amount of money. It was a particular amount of money And here was the rule: you couldn't tell anyone. Not one person. Not your parents. Not your church. Because this particular organization, Operation Mobilization, worked by faith. I thought, this is going to be very interesting. And to God's glory, I prayed. Can you believe how my faith grew when someone came up to me and gave me the check for exactly the right amount? The prayer of faith makes a person well. The prayer of faith is heard. Jesus tells them this story practically to be bold and ask this friend, wake them up to get your bread. A parable that's true to life. If you're going to teach someone else how to pray, you'll need a pattern for how to do it. You'll need to give them true life examples of the power of prayer and how it works. And concluding with Jesus's principle. It's a principle to rely on. He's got to the end of this pattern. God, others around, and it really is going to work in life. It's day-to-day living. But bear in mind this principle. Ask and you'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Three stanzas, each saying the same thing twice. In other words, the principle is you're going to get it. Six times over, God will give an answer to prayer. But notice the principle he's saying, it's not the answer that's given, it's a person. How much more then will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Fine if you're praying for money. Fine if you're praying for a cure for illness. Fine if you're praying for companionship. Fine if you can name that particular thing in your prayer. But notice how Jesus says this prayer more often than not will be answered. How much more then will God give himself to you? Why are we not surprised? Jesus was in communion with his Father. Something happened to him because he walked with God. Others came to him and said, teach me how to pray. I want what you've got. Not a kind of slot machine magic with a heavenly Father, but something about the presence of God in your life. When you pray, God comes to you. And only God will know whether in the quietness of your heart you're thinking, Lord, teach me to pray so that when I pray, something of you comes to me. How much more then will the Holy Spirit be given to those who ask? So perhaps as I draw to a conclusion, the question is not, well, how can we teach others to pray? The question is, how eager are we to be learning how to pray? And when that is instilled in us, perhaps others will come to us like they did to Jesus. Lord, teach me how to pray. We bow our heads to pray.